someone get an outline that would like one? I'm going to be presumptuous and think you want to follow along with me. It's not that I have a talent for alliteration in this, but there was a magazine I received decades and decades ago, and I don't have it anymore, but it was written by, I think it was father and son, but it was a Clem and Dillard Thurman magazine called Gospel Minutes. And they had one of the articles they had was this story of the prodigal son, so I cut it out and kind of made it in my own a little bit. But
right, they're brothers.
They're brothers.
Yeah.
I knew you would know that. Well, I think around the Dallas-Fort Worth area, aren't
they? We knew Clem, but we didn't know Dillard.
Yeah, so that was a fantastic magazine. I wish I hadn't stopped taking it. But yeah, so they had this in one of their magazines. So I said, well, I'll use that if I want to preach on the prodigal son in one lesson. So I've given you, so in my four lessons that I've given you in the past, you didn't see these kind of variations or delineations. So I thought, well, I'll just take this and make that the summary tonight. So let's go rather, not quickly, but we'll go through this since you're familiar with the story now. But the first lesson I gave was on the way away. And so these were my main points. The Thurman brothers, they didn't have, I think they had it titled something else, obviously with D's and R's. But the way away, if you remember, so first of all, was dissatisfaction. The younger son was led away by uncontrolled desires. He wanted the far country, and I think he wanted that country before he ever left home. Before he ever left his father's house, his mind was already thinking that direction. You know, we mentioned in the sermon, he wanted freedom from his father's restraint or oversight or even the father's association and love. All that the home provided. Says, I'm going to leave. And he left voluntarily. So when your nose, James describes it this way, every man is tempted. Right? He's tempted when they're drawn away by their own lust. And then enticed. And then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. So remember when the son came back, the father in his reception said, this my son who was dead is alive again, was lost and is found. So this son was dead spiritually in that far country. But it started with dissatisfaction, desire. Number two was demand. Verse 12, he said, Father, give me. Give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. He's of age. Selfishness in this situation had its victory. And so he begins his break away from home with the father giving him that portion. Now, Proverbs 14 verse 12 warns us there's a way that seems right unto man. The end thereof are the ways of death. So the son now makes a demand. I have this desire, now I make my demand. Number three, have the departure. Verse 13, not many days hence, or many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into the far country. So he turns away from the father, away from home, goes his own way, and he's probably thinking, it's my life. I'll live it the way I want to. Perhaps he's even thinking I'm not hurting anybody. You know, it's not affecting anybody else but me. Maybe he's thinking that. And then after making the departure, there's the dissipation in verse 13. And there, in the far country, he wasted his substance in riotous living. So now he is doing his own thing, and he's on his own. And he's not doing the Father's wishes. And he's wasting his substance. Wow. Wasting it. Then there's the destitution. Verse 14. When he has spent all. I don't know how long it took. But he spent it all. Then there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. See, he fared sumptuously at home. But now that he's spent all, he can't afford riotous living. So now he's in want. And so those fellows or people that he had, that was with him when he spent his substance, are not going to come to his aid. He doesn't have anything anymore. So once they have wiped him out of all that he had, now you really are on your own, and we're leaving you. They were fair weather friends. And verse 16 says, no man gave to him. So after destitution, then there's degradation. So in verse 15, he went and joined himself to a citizen in that country. And he sent him into his field to feed swine. He's in the employ of a foreigner, feeding unclean beasts with a heathen master. And in verse 16, he said he fain would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. Paints a picture of a child of God, a Christian, leaving home, leaving the Father, leaving the congregation. Peter describes it in 1 Peter 2, verse 22. It's happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that is washed to her wallowing in the mire. It paints a picture of that son who is prodigal. So that's the way away, all of these things. The second lesson that I gave was on the way back home. So first of all, there was realization. In other words, coming to your senses. Might even say right mind. Verse 17, he gives the phrase, he came to himself. And he starts thinking about his current situation. He says, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? Enough and more. And I perish here with hunger. Now that's coming to yourself. That's self-realization. This begins the brighter picture. This coming to himself begins that about face. Realizing the situation he's in, and he reflects on what he had back home. Isaiah 58 verse 1. Isaiah 58, verse 1 says, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression. So God, show me. And the son who is prodigal has been shown. I'm not in a good situation. Came to himself. Someone needs to tell us, when we're in that far country, that there's a better place. We need to tell ourselves. He came to himself. Hog pen living is not of eternal value. On the way back home, after realization, there was repentance. Verse 18, he says, I will arise and go to my father. This I'll say. Message prepared. So that's repentance. It's a change of will. It's a resolution to turn around. It's a determination that says, I'm going to do differently. And when you repent, there's an attitude that says, like when he came to himself, I don't like where I am. Repentance is a good coming to yourself and saying, you know, I don't like where I'm going. And I'm out of here. Repentance. Matthew 21, verse 29, Jesus tells a parable of two men. One says, I'll go to the field, and then he doesn't. The other one says, I won't go, and then he does. In Matthew 21, verse 29, says, the young man replied to his father, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. Repentance is in the text. Change of mind, change of action. So after this, on the way back home, there's this realization, a repentance and a returning. Verse 20, it says, he arose. He just didn't make a great declaration. He didn't just kind of make a promise, you know, a resolution. Verse 20, he arose and came to his father. Came back. Or 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10 says, godly sorrow works repentance to salvation. But the sorrow of the world works death. We want godly sorrow to bring us back. That's what this son had. Godly sorrow. Repentance, change of mind, change of attitude. And that led him back to the Father in the Father's house. We need people in the far country to come to themselves. And if someone else doesn't tell them, they need to tell themselves, this is what I'm going to do. The third lesson that we gave was the reception from the Father. First, we have restoration. So this erring son who has wasted his substance is restored fully. Verse 20, when he was yet a great way off, Father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, kissed him. And then the Father, before the son could even finish his prepared speech of penance, says in verse 22, the father said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Ring on his finger, shoes on his feet. And the conclusion he makes, for this my son was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. So there's restoration. Then there's rejoicing, because after the father involves the best robe and the ring and the shoes, in verse 23 he says, and bring hither the fatted calf and let us kill it and eat and make merry. That's right. So my lesson I gave you that mentioned salvation is always an occasion of joy. Always. That's why we said it should be easy to come back to God. Because he already knows what our attitudes were. He knows our actions. He knows the rhyme and the reason. But we're just filleted open before God. He sees. He knows. So it should be, in one sense, easy to come back to God. At least as far as knowing what the reception is that we're going to receive from God. There's not going to be, as we like say, 20 questions. You know, I always think the first one I'm going to ask is, what were you thinking? Second follow-up question, how could you? Maybe even a personal statement, I wouldn't do that. Look what you've done. Do you know how much hurt you've caused? You know, we're ready with a lot. I want to get the rebuke in before the forgiveness. But no, the Father receives the son back, cuts him short on his statement. And the Father gives. So I put in your notes, just again, that one of my favorite hymns, Just As I Am, that third stanza. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. And because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Then the last lesson we gave was the reception from the elder brother. First, there was the rejection. I had a few more things in my notes to you, but the Thurman brothers only listed two. The rejection in verse 28, the older brother was angry, would not go in. And to me, that's one of the saddest parts of the story, is that a brother would not rejoice when a brother returns. Boy. And again, we're not always sure about the reception we might receive from brethren, but it should be like the father's. We want to receive one who repents and comes home in a joyous manner, rejoicing as reception from the Father was. Rejoicing. Second, the reception from the elder brother was that he reasoned selfishly. Lo, these many years do I serve thee, never transgressed a commandment of thine. And yet when this, not my brother, says, when this thy son has come, and then an oh, by the way, who has devoured thy living with the harlots. You killed for him the fatted calf. Never gave me even a kid that I might rejoice and make merry with my friends. So jealous, he's selfish, hard-hearted, all the while he's at home working in the Father's field. And sometimes I'm thinking my conclusion was that sometimes you would not have known about this, the hard-heartedness of this brother until the event comes along where he has to forgive. That's what revealed the attitude of the elder brother. You would have not known that unless a younger brother had left and wasted and then come back. So in the closing, I put in your notes, it's amazing grace, certainly. When Christians or prodigals who have left the Father's house may come home to a grand reception. But also Christians with secret sins of the heart who have stayed home may also come home to a grand reception. So yes, we may sin openly in a far country, but it's also to have callousness of heart at home. And both the prodigal and the callous of hearts need godly sorrow that works repentance for salvation. So that's the lesson in review. You probably didn't want to know so much about the prodigal son. Five lessons out of a short story. All right. You know, there's a song in our book about this story. I know we have time, so I'm going to sing. Well, let's sing one other song before we do the invitation song. The song is I've Wandered Far. I read the words of that before. Well, let's sing this for a second because it keys on there. I'll find the page number here in a moment. It may not even be the name of it.
The Lord, I'm Coming Home?
Lord, I'm Coming Home is the name of it.
Yeah. Scary. Scary.
I don't remember seeing this very often here. 936. Okay. 936.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, believe thy word. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thy arms above. Lord, I'm coming home. My soul is sick, my heart is sore. Now I'm coming home. My strength renewed, my hope restored. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thy arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
The song kind of really does suggest, you know, the attitude of that son who was prodigal. And that's the verse that the hymn writer, the editor of the songbook, put up at the top underneath the title of the song. Father, I've sinned, but I'm coming home. Always when we assemble together for a time of worship assembly and after the lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. There may be one here this evening, not a member of the New Testament church. And I've been baptized for remission of sins. So you said, Lord, I want to come home in a sense. I want to, God, I want to be in your spiritual family. I want to, I want you to bless me to be a child of yours. Or what, brethren, for strength or prayers, encouragement, or just decisions, whatever it is. Now's the time to express that while we're gathered here to share with you with that request or that resolve. So let's stand together and sing the song that Des has selected.